Good morning. Scott Wells here for the magic word. And I say good morning because certainly it is. Ah, the life of a magician. Here we are getting up at 5 a.m. and getting over to the airport. In this case, taking Southwest Airlines out of Houston Hobby. And got my morning cup of joe. And it's Friday the 28th of March, heading to Newark, New Jersey, where we'll be picked up in a stretch limo and whisked away over to the East Coast Mine Jam. Right now we're expecting a temperature here in Houston of about 85 today, and I think it's just the inverse of that, that they're expecting more like about 58 as a high in New Jersey, and then getting cooler, of course, as the day goes on. But at least there's no snow, as I understand it, for right now for the weekend, but it should be nice inside in the hotel where we're going to be holding the East Coast Mine Jam. This year is the first and only year for this particular event that's going to feature honor Tony Spina, who is, or was, the owner-operator, president of Tannen's Magic in New York City. And so that will be one of the reasons why people should be attending this weekend. But aside from that, of course, since it is a mind jam, it has an emphasis on mentalism. Eric Citron is the organizer of the convention here, and he has put together just an incredible lineup of mentalists, some of the top working guys out there today, with Doc Hilford, Richard Osterlund, Mark Salem, Ted Karmilovich, you know, the maker of the mother of all book tests, Devin Knight, and Patrick Redfern, Jim Sisti, several others. It looks like it's just going to be a lot of fun. And like the Mindvention that's hosted in Las Vegas each year, that this is kind of an intimate group of people as well. We're going to be having less than 100 registrants, which gives a lot of quality time for each other to, each of us to spend time with each other, that is, to learn more and get to know each other a lot better over the course of the weekend. There's going to be a couple of workshops available for the weekend then too that are extra event deals. I believe Doc Hilford was having some sort of a special workshop, including a dinner with Doc kind of a deal, which is kind of cool, where you can have dinner with him and then have an opportunity to kind of pick his brain over dinner. Sounded like just a pretty cool deal. And then aside from that, Patrick Redfern is going to have a workshop here today on Friday. And on Monday, as an extra event, then Richard Osterlund is going to be having a workshop as well. So those guys out on the East Coast who are involved or interested in mentalism are going to be getting a real full dose of it here this weekend. I'm getting pretty excited. I think it should be a lot of fun. I'm going to be part of it as well. I get to be the MC for the Saturday night show, which is going to be open to the public as well. So I think it should be just a lot of fun, as I said. So I hope to have an opportunity to spend some time chatting with these guys, and I hope that you tune in each day to the Magic Word Podcast and get caught up and see what it is that you're missing. And you should hurry on over here as soon as you can. Well, I'm kind of early right now for my flight. As I said, I got up at 5 and got checked in, and thanks to the TSA pre-check, I get bypassed along the line and go straight on through. So that is well worth the money. I would recommend for anybody who does a lot of traveling to consider getting the going through the pre-check process. And also, while I'm at it, anybody else have a pet peeve, or is it just me? You know, when people on the news would say 5 a.m. in the morning, well, yeah, it's the morning. What, 5 a.m. in the evening? It's kind of redundant. It's like 5 p.m. in the evening, or this morning at 5 a.m. Why do they do that? That just grates on my nerves. That is just so wrong grammatically and just hurts my ears when I hear people say that. Anyhow, but that's just me. I don't know. Anyhow, I'm going to sip my coffee and stay awake and get ready to get boarded here, and rather to board my flight. All right, enough chatter from me for right now. I'll see you in Newark, New Jersey soon. Scotty out. Scott Wells at the East Coast Mine Jam, actually in Somerset, New Jersey, and I have made it. We are here, and first-class accommodations. I tell you, Eric Citron, who's the organizer of this one-time-only event, goes first class all the way, had me picked up in a stretch limo. That was just, that was really a nice touch. And I've got Eric with me right here. Hey, Eric.
Hi, how are we doing, Scott? Thanks for coming.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot for having me and for having this convention. I just wish, I start to say, I wish that there were just hundreds of more people coming, but on the other hand, it is so intimate, you know, that it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. We have about 75 people registered as of today.
Awesome.
I was hoping for a little bit more. We're doing a tribute to Tony Spener on Sunday, and it's been a great experience so far. It's been a lot of work, and I want to thank you for your help because you've been really instrumental in guiding me through this process.
Sure. Well, you're welcome. I'm glad that it's turned out the way that it has, certainly, because it looks like it's going to be a success with the number of people that you've got and just the people who are coming as far as the talent goes. You mentioned Sunday is going to be the honor for Tony, who's going to be coming here for that. But also, that's going to be the Mark Salem Day, if you will. What else is he going to be
right,
doing?
Right. So, well, we start off tonight, Friday. It's tonight's Doc Hilfert Day. Doc is hosting a master class tonight. He's doing a show. We have a small attendee show. He's actually hosting that as well. Tomorrow we have a full gamut of entertainment with Joe Atmore, Patrick Redford, Ted Carmelovich, yourself, you're emceeing. And Richard Austin is doing his one-man complete show to close the Saturday evening show. So him and I are very excited that we're able to give him enough time to do it. And then on Sunday, Joe Atmore is doing his Dunninger lecture, and then Mark Salem is doing his complete Broadway show, and he's also doing a three-hour lecture. He made me extend the time of the room on Sunday so he can even do more than he normally does.
Yeah.
So we're pretty excited about that. And as I said, this is a one-time-only event to honor Tony Spener. Tony will be here on Sunday. He's in failing health, so a nurse is actually bringing him down here, and we have a nice award to give him and things like that. The only sad part about this, to be honest with you, is Tannen's Magic decided to be a no-show. And I invited them to come. I invited them to give me a video tribute. They didn't do it. We do have some great dealers in the dealer room, Taylor Imagineering. We have Banachek represented. We have Ostelin Mysteries and some other dealers. So for those of you that like to buy dealer goods, we have plenty of stuff for you to buy. We have two master classes. We have the Patrick Redford master class going on right now. And then Monday, Richard Ostelin's doing a six-hour master class, which is sold out on Monday. So we're very excited. As a performing mentalist, I would attend this myself. And, you know, by the time you hear this, next Thursday, I would imagine.
No, they're going to post these each night.
Oh.
They'll be up tomorrow.
Okay, so if you want to come down tomorrow, we have one-day admissions on Saturday and Sunday, or you can come down tomorrow night for the Saturday show. It's $25. It's a two-and-a-half-hour show. Starts at 8 o'clock. We have an open bar, a cash bar. You can have a little bit of drinks and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that sounds great. Let me back up for just a moment, because you had originally planned on having this honor, I think, as part of the original, not the Tannen's Jubilee or something, I think, you know, and then Tony fell into poor health. Tell me a little bit about what happened.
Yeah, 2 years ago, Tony and I wanted to bring back the magic of the Jubilee, and we had David Copperfield involved, and we were going to bring in talent from all over the world, like Topaz and things. So it was going to be... We wanted to replicate the Jubilee because there was 40 Jubilees from the early 60s all the way on. And then Tony went into a coma and was actually in a coma for almost a year.
Wow.
And I had to cancel it. So Tony lives in a hospital now for the rest of his life. And to me, this was a small way to say thank you. I know Tony since I'm 12 years old. I worked at Tannen's for 5 years back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And he's just a selfish man. He's helped so many people. He gave David...
Unselfish.
Yeah. But, you know, he gave David Copperfield his first professional job, and there's so many people he's helped. And this was just my way of saying thank you. And I appreciate everybody that's come out here to support him. And, you know, I love the guy, and I hope this really, he's 82 years old now. And I just hope this is something that he'll remember for the rest of his life.
And this is one of the reasons that, if anything, might have seemed rushed. Some people may say, well, where did this come from? It just popped up all of a sudden as far as this East Coast Mine Jam, that it wasn't on the radar like a year ago or anything. But it had to do with just trying to coordinate this around Tony's health.
Absolutely. And the other thing is the talent that we have. We have Mark Salem and, you know, Scott Wells and Doc Hilfert and Patrick Redford and Joe Atmore and Ted Carmelovich. The talent, they've actually discounted their services to us in order to do this, because people may or may not know, it's very expensive and time-consuming to put on an event. And I tried to assemble the best talent that I could within reasonable fees, and everybody, to a man, discounted their fees to make this possible. And I want to thank everybody, and so does Tony, for doing it.
Well, that's great. I'm thinking there might be some more people who will be walk-ups that you might be getting, again, closer to 100. You know, I think we'll fall just a little bit under, which is about the same that Danny Archer and Robert Allen have for their Mindvention. They've been holding this for about 10 years. But, again, this is just a one-off type of a thing.
It is. And if you're a mentalist or you have an interest in mind reading or mentalism, this is the place to be, because this is an intimate gathering. For instance, Doc Hilford is doing his thing tonight, but then for the next 2 days, he's just hanging out with the guys, you know, just hanging out. So if you ever wanted to have a chance to rub elbows with some of the greatest mentalists in the world, this is the weekend to do it. And it's a nice, small, intimate hotel. The weather's going to be crappy this weekend. It's going to rain all weekend in New Jersey. So why not come to the East Coast Mind Jam, support Tony Spina, and just, you know, have a great time.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be going outdoors anyhow. I mean, all the food and everything's right here. I mean, it is La Quinta, which, of course, in Spanish, I understand means next to Denny's. But I don't see one outside here. So
they have a great restaurant here with a bar. The food's really good. You know, we have stuff going on from 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to 11 o'clock tomorrow night, and Sunday from 8 o'clock in the morning.
Plus late night sessions that'll go on all
over. Absolutely. Yeah. I actually gave up my hotel room so somebody coming down from Canada could stay, because the hotel is sold out.
Magnanimous of you.
I know.
What a guy.
I know. And I upgraded you to a suite, Scott, because you're a great guy. So first class limo accommodations and everything else. But once again, it's been a real work of love for me. And I can't wait to see how it turns out on Monday, you know, when Monday comes. And I appreciate, Scott, your help because you've done this a lot of times. And I've never done it before, and I really appreciate it. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, certainly. And for those who, again, who are thinking of coming in, that the airport, this is up in the Northeast. That's why it's called the East Coast Mind Jam. But it's located right outside of Newark, New Jersey. So you can fly into Newark, and it's about a 45-minute limo ride.
And an hour drive from Manhattan.
Yeah.
So it's very close. And, you know, one-day registrations are $125.
What a deal. Even if you have just a little bit of an interest in mentalism, I would think this is the place to come, because there's never been, to my knowledge, a mentalist convention in the Northeast.
To my knowledge, too. And, you know, this is a one-off deal. I mean, you know, seeing the amount of work that it takes to put one of these on, I can understand why. Like Stan Allen has Magic Live every couple of years and things like that, because it's just a lot of work. But it's fun, and I enjoy it, and I can't wait to see the shows and be with the guys.
Well, I'm going to catch up with you, you know, during the weekend, and also just to kind of hear a wrap-up on Monday to kind of see what you think. Did it meet your expectations and everything? So keep these things in mind. So I'm looking forward to having a great time here.
I'm looking forward to seeing Scott, your MC, in action.
Okay. Thanks very much. Great to see you. Appreciate it, Eric.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks.
That was Scott. Eric Citron. We'll see you guys in a little bit later. Scotty out. Scott Wells for the Magic Word, and I got with me a couple of guys, Tim Trano from Penguin Magic. Hey there, Tim.
How are you?
And one of the performers, have Mr. Richard Osterlin. Hi, Richard.
How you doing, Scott?
Great, thank you. You're going to be one of the – we're going to have a Richard Osterlin Day, which is going to be on Monday, which is actually kind of an extra event type of a thing.
Yep.
That's going to be your workshop. Tell me something kind of about what you're doing there.
Well, we're really going to get in-depth with some basic studies, billets, using cards and mentalism, all different basic techniques, nail writers, and it's going to be hands-on all day long.
All day, like 8 hours. Huh?
8 hours.
Wow,
yeah.
No kidding.
And just try to fit as much useful knowledge in those 8 hours as possible.
Well, you just recently did a 5-hour lecture, didn't you, for Penguin?
For Penguin, right, yeah. Now that I've recovered from that, I'm ready to go again now.
So well, people who want to see that. Yeah,
well, one of the things he's going to do, too, is tell a little more about this. You're going to do your full stage show.
Yeah. I've never had a chance to do my whole show at a convention, because normally they put you on for 15, 20 minutes. My show is a 1-hour show. I've been doing it for my whole career. So, you know, I spoke to Eric and I said, if you can fit me in, can I do my whole show? Because I would like to be able to do that in front of mentalists. Plus, we have about 30 or so lay people who are going to be in the audience,
great,
too. So
awesome.
It won't just be, you know, other mentalists. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to that, too, because I'm going to be MC. And so what I'm going to do, obviously, the first four people, I guess, are going to be up first. And then I'll say, okay, we'll take a break. So that way we'll come back. And then that way that it's kind of like we'll start your show and feature
great.
That.
That's great.
So you're pretty excited, I guess, about this.
I'm
the first
very
time getting,
excited, yes.
Because I've seen you at Mindvention do a little part of your show. So this really is the first time of doing it all.
And it fits together. It's a whole. You know, when you've done it this long, each part leads into something else. So to take it apart,
oh, yeah.
you just kind of destroy it a little bit of mm-hmm. the whole feeling. So
right.
now everybody will get a chance to see what I actually do in front
of where do you perform normally? I mean, is it in theaters? I know that like Mark Salem was working in different kinds of theaters.
Yeah.
You were comedy clubs, theaters? What?
No, not really. I'm a corporate show.
Okay.
Banquet speaking is
okay.
95% of my work. As a matter mm-hmm. of fact, I was talking to Mark the other day, and he was saying to me how he's about ready to open a new show in New York and how he has to be concerned about the opening night and the critics.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me, I've never had that in my life. I've never had
critics.
That kind of situation.
You got critics,
right.
but not those professional
yeah, not
kinds.
Not those kinds, right.
My wife. You know?
It's just a different world. I love yeah. Mark. I can't wait to see his show,
yeah.
too. I've seen
right.
it, you know, in New York. But you know, my show is strictly a corporate show. I mean, I have worked everywhere. I've worked college. I have worked some comedy clubs. Mm-hmm. But my main show is a corporate show.
Right.
And even when I do a private party or something, it's still the same show. I've done this show in front of 4,500 people in Salt Lake City at the Salt Palace.
Wow.
And I've done the same show on the East Coast years ago for then-Governor Weicker and six other people. The same show.
Same show.
Exactly. So
that's what's amazing.
It's
and you, I mean, it's not like a big stage thing where you bring in like Zigzag and Dancing Ladies
yeah,
and all that
exactly.
kind of thing. So it's nice you can kind of, you know, come with a thumb writer.
One case. What thumb writer? What's a thumb writer? I don't know what he's talking about. The YouTube.
Well, the great thing about this convention is it's a smaller convention. And so you have some top names, you know, Richard and Doc Hilford and Mark Salem and, you know, on and on and on. Patrick Redford's here. And because it's smaller, you get to mingle, and really, it's an intense experience. It's not like there's 1,000 or 2,000 people.
Yeah, getting excited about it. You're excited also?
Oh, I can't wait to get going.
Okay, well, we'll let you get going then right now. So that was Richard Osterlund and Tim Trano for the Magic Word. Scotty out. So the East Coast Mind Jam has not yet started. It's only about a little after 4 o'clock, and I think that Patrick Redfern's about finished up with his first workshop. But we have a few people who have started to attend already, so I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves so you can hear your voices also. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah. Ed Russ, and that's spelled R-U-S-S-E.
E, not Russ-E, but
no.
Russ.
Was it Russo?
John Surgot.
Oh, you're not.
Andy Hofer.
And you guys actually live nearby, so it's not far. Actually,
I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
What's nearby?
That's close.
I mean,
enough.
It's like closer than Houston. You know,
two and a half hours. It was nothing. Yeah, exactly. I had to fly, and I drove in. Yeah, it was convenient.
And you were saying though that for you, there was
I'm from Austin, New York. It's in the Hudson Valley, north of New York City.
And is this your first convention, Magic Convention,
yes.
by chance?
Yes.
It is? Because I was just talking
with
someone else earlier.
Who's
never been to a Magic or Mentalism
conference before. But
a conference.
Yeah.
Well, convention, conference, conflab, you know, weekend, whatever.
I've been to one last
okay.
fall.
Yeah. Where was that?
I went to Jeff McBride's school out
sure.
in Las Vegas. Ed was there, as a matter of fact, and we mm-hmm. met at the Magic and Meaning Conference. And
okay.
we're going again next year.
And we're
this
going
year.
Again this year,
this
yes.
Yeah. That'll be a good... And that's not... really a big thing. I mean, they don't have like 100 people or so.
No, it's like 60.
Yeah. Have you been to that too?
No, haven't had a chance to go to the
yeah.
No.
So tell me, you excited about this convention, you guys, Ed?
Oh, it's been very great. Just to come in today and listen to Patrick, it was just terrific.
Yeah. Really tell me something. Were you in Patrick's also?
Actually, no, I wasn't, but I do know Patrick, and I know his work is. I just couldn't make it in time to get that as well.
Yeah.
So.
Were you there, Andy?
Yeah, I was in Patrick's.
What do you guys think? Ed?
It was excellent for
it was
me.
Great.
I had never seen the things he presented on Prevaricator,
okay.
which was the class itself was teaching it like sort of a one-on-one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. A lot of information.
What else did you get out of it?
Well, I've had Prevaricator actually sitting on the shelf for about a year and a half, and I've reviewed it, but this really made it accessible, and I found at least like 3 or 4 things in here I can use immediately. Like today I could use them.
How did this differ in a workshop environment from just a regular lecture?
We got to practice more ourselves a little bit.
Okay.
And to try a few things out. You know, not a lot.
It's really more hands-on kind of a thing.
Yeah, a little bit more, definitely. We got to see how some of the techniques, you know, really could work.
The tips with the techniques were just terrific. I mean, you wouldn't have got that without... It was 4 hours worth of work.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
But we, you know, he did swear us to secrecy, so we can't give any details.
You're right.
Literally.
You had to buy the workshop.
Okay. Literally. You get shot.
Yeah. He begged us. Let's put it that way.
Okay. John... you and I have been playing games together online. You don't know Jack.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, so you don't know Jack, and that
candy
John
brush,
beats me.
Yeah.
A lot. No,
no,
I've got it in a candy
actually,
crush.
Scott's got me a couple of times, pretty good too. And I'm like, how do you get that? Because I know you've got to have more worldly experience than I do, but yet some of these questions I'm like, he didn't get that? How did it happen? And I'll tell you what, I sometimes think it's the keyboard. Sometimes you want to hit the one button and your finger wants to hit another button, or you're not fast enough on the mouse. You know, that's the tricky part. But yeah, but Scott's a blast. So I got to meet him about, what, two or three years ago in Carlisle, when we had our convention out there for MAES.
Yes, it was. Yes, because I was doing my, now you see, it was Scott Wells' show. And, and set off a fire alarm.
That was great. That was a great show, though. That was one of the best shows there was. Janie and
Erica D'Souza. And had Danny.
I know, it was fantastic. It was a good show.
And for those who are listening to the podcast, want to see that, I've got that video on the Magic Word Podcast. So you can just do a search for
Actually, the commercials were worth attending that.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, the commercial breaks were fantastic.
I'm going to do this again at the Abbott's get-together. And we're going to be having the guys, some cruise ship guys, and we're going to be talking about that. So I'm going to have the commercials and do the Now You See It. This is going to be their 77th year, I believe, convention. Cool. So what are you excited? What do you want to see? I mean, what aside from coming and being excited about this, who are you looking forward to seeing or learning from?
I'm looking forward to Richard Osterlin. I chased him from Vegas.
And Devin Knight also. I got Devin. Hey there, Devin.
Found some knowledge right there.
I haven't met him yet, so I was like, you know.
Ed Russ, this is Devin Knight.
There you go. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. See, this is all the cool.
Hey, Andy Johnson.
This is Andy. Nice to meet you.
Looking forward to do meeting Richard Osterlin. I didn't just meet him, but I'm looking forward to seeing his lecture and the workshop that we're doing on Monday, which I'm very excited. It's an all-day thing.
You're bookending the convention with these workshops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is, you doing it too, Andy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this is great. But to actually get to meet him face-to-face and listen to him, you know, one-on-one, that's a terrific thing.
Well, what I'm looking forward to, you tell me first. Go ahead, Andy.
Well, I'm looking forward to Richard. I was in a lecture that he gave in New York City last September, 4 hours. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to 8. But I'm a real Richard Osterlin fan. So
he's going to be doing his full evening show tomorrow night too, which is kind of cool.
Right. Yes. Actually, I'm looking forward to seeing Joe Atmore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I have a poster at home.
Of Dunninger?
Yes.
Uh huh.
A playbill.
Wow.
From about 60 years ago that he essentially kind of authenticated, seeing a picture and seeing the dates and all on it.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to meet him, have him sign my book that I have. So, but I want to meet him and actually want to see him perform.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one too, the Dunninger. Because I actually saw Dunninger as a young man.
Did you really?
I was probably maybe 13, 14, and he was on at our. I was living in Charleston, West Virginia, where I grew up. He was at the theater, and I said, "I've got to. I just want to see it. I've had nothing, had no idea about mentalism or anything."
Right.
Went to see it, and I was just the whole time. And then, of course, eventually I got into magic.
Do you remember something from his particular show?
You know what I remember more than anything was the thumb tie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did you ever see him do the thumb tie?
No.
It was great.
Well, I never saw him.
Oh, you never saw him live?
No.
Yeah, everybody says, I'm not that old. Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, I am.
It really made me feel bad.
But the thumb tie, really, okay.
Yeah, he did the Japanese thumb ties.
Now, what did he do, like with a samurai sword or something?
No,
or a ring or
just
something?
Just through the arms or through the
microphone
hoops,
stand or
that kind of thing.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Did he have somebody from the audience come up and tie him?
Yes, that's somebody from the audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What method did he use, you recall?
No.
Okay.
I mean, Japanese, you know, and it was Willard, a thumb tie.
Yeah.
That's what he called it at that time,
But that was the thing that stuck out in your
It really stuck out
mind.
In my mind. I mean, and I went home to tell everybody, and they're all looking at me like I've got, you know. So he did what?
Yeah.
Well, then, he did a lot of the mentalism things that he did as a regular show. But very, you know, nice suit and just gave out the information to the audience. And
right.
He had a good turnout. Everybody was all dressed up, and here I'm the kid sitting there on the corner, just sort of my mouth open, watching the guy.
It's funny that you saw Dunninger. You know, I don't think I've spoken with anyone who's actually seen a mentalist as their first magic mentalism show. Most people say, I saw Harry Blackstone Sr. or somebody, you know, whenever I was young. Or talk to one guy who said, I saw Houdini. You know, I was like, wow, okay. You don't get to talk to those guys. It's like World War II people. You don't get to see much anymore, you know. But, so, you know, what I'm looking forward to is having a martini with you, you know.
Well, you and I have a martini.
That's right.
I'm excited.
We on Facebook, you said,
that was the most exciting part was me getting to buy you a martini.
And it's not going to be on a Thursday night, but we'll have to get a picture of that for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Well, thank you guys very much. I'm glad.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Scott.
I'm looking forward to a great convention, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
thank
we
you.
Are.
Thank you
yes,
a lot. We'll see you. So this is Scotty out. All right, well, we just finished the ending of the show, that is the attendee show. And so this afternoon we had a workshop for some lucky few people to attend the Patrick Redfern workshop, and I've got Patrick with me right now. Hey, man.
Hello, everyone. How are you out there?
We're fine.
That's what I heard, too. I caught it up there.
So how was the workshop?
It was fantastic. We had 15 guys in a room. We did the three-hour prevaricator workshop. There's a lot of good material in there that you can only get in the workshop. But, of course, you know, what's great about it is people can take the material that they've learned it on the DVD that Vanishing Ink put out several years ago now. I don't even want to think about how many it's been, but a while ago, or the original manuscripts, and take that and really supercharge the routines. And everybody always leaves the room confident that they can go out and do it immediately. So it's
they've
a lot of
fun. They've learned a lot.
Absolutely.
That. Everybody felt like the people I talk with, they said, well, it's really great, but we can't talk about it.
I asked them not to, so I'm glad that they actually did say that.
They did.
That's good.
I mean, and it was off the record, too. They said, even though we're not recording, I still can't tell you.
That's good. I'm glad that people are saying the right thing.
Yeah, but they said, one guy said, I got four things out of it that I'm going to do
away. Yeah, there are techniques in those workshops that you only learn in the workshops. They've never been printed anywhere else.
Are you going to be lecturing then tomorrow also?
Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., the full-blown, we're doing an hour and a half talk tomorrow.
Okay.
Some great material from some of the upcoming projects, some of the old projects, but a lot of new stuff, a lot of good stuff, and some previews from a new book that is finally going to be released. I know a lot of people have been waiting for it, called Chairs and Other Arrangements.
Yeah.
So that'll be out soon. I don't know when, but
soon. I always like the chair routine.
So it's a whole book of my chair test. So the people who have been looking for Ensconce Fundament Asunder Maximus, which was a book that I put out in 2004, so 10 years ago.
Yeah, and is it available still?
I'm getting old. We're all getting old.
Are we?
Which means you guys are getting older.
You're looking younger, though. You know, I don't know. You must be dyeing your hair or something.
No, I just took the hat off.
Okay.
The forehead.
That's it.
I retired the hat.
Did you really?
About 4 years ago now.
Now, it's interesting, because I was going to ask you about that, I guess, when we were in Vegas last, you know, because I didn't have it. I was going to say, well, where to go. So you just...
Well, I wear it sometimes still. But most of the time, I don't wear it, and only in performance.
Yeah.
I never wore it around real life. I stopped doing that when I was a kid.
Okay.
But I did wear it on stage still. But I retired it because, A, it's hot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of commitment. And I'm going for a different image, different impression now, and a different market now.
But did it make you feel like you had some superpower when you put it on? When you were a kid, when you first did it?
It gave me a superpower when I took it off. It made me invisible.
Oh, okay.
Because it was one of those neat things. I worked with Masters of Illusion for about 2 years, both in the main stage, and I did close-up before the show as well. And what was cool about that is
that was the show in Vegas, was it?
It was a touring show.
Touring.
We went all over the world.
We
went to Singapore, the Philippines. We went all over Canada, all over the States. That was Gay Blackstone.
Oh, Gay's thing. Okay, yes.
Yeah, so it's a great show. I think it's still running, but they change out the cast every once in a while. What was cool is I did some body doubling for one of the illusionists in the show.
That's funny.
And nobody recognized me because I take off my hat and I look like
invisible.
A completely different person.
That is funny.
So it was pretty cool. And for that reason, I was asked to wear the hat for that show.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the drastic change that happens, and people can recognize me.
Speaking of changing and things like that, you had changed your name to Patrick Redfern, you know, which I think it's kind of funny. You know, some people, when Steve Shaw asked me about changing his name to Banachek, what do you think of that? I said, it won't work. That's not a good name. Obviously, I don't know anything. It worked for him. But why did you change your name?
I never changed my name. Patrick Redford doesn't really exist. It's just a pen name. So my real name is George Tate. I've always performed as George Tate, and I've never worked or performed as Patrick.
What do you prefer to be called?
In at Magic Conventions, you can call me anything you'd like. Just keep it clean, especially depending on who's around. You can call me Patrick, you can call me George, it doesn't matter. Most people know me in the Magic community as Patrick, so I'm happy to go by that, but I don't work as Patrick.
I like to call people what they like to be known as. You know, for an example, some people say, my name's James, not Jim, not Jimmy, you know, whatever, and, you know, Banachek's my best friend, and I never call him Steve.
I never call him Steve either. I call him Banachek.
Yeah,
that's what he wants to be called.
That's exactly right.
Which is funny, a lot of people don't know that, so I love it when people
they think
my good friend Steve, and I go,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And now everybody's going to change that.
And he'll never let on. He's such a great guy.
Does.
Yeah.
He's one of the best.
He is. So that's why I was wondering about you in that particular. You don't care one way or the other, but do you really personally have a preference?
I don't have a preference.
As long as they call you.
Patrick actually is my real middle name, and I went by Patrick for a long time.
Yeah.
And George is my real first name.
Okay.
When I was born, my name was James, but my parents changed my name, so it's a big confusing mess.
My name was Royce Lee.
Royce Lee.
Yeah, then I changed.
Did you change it?
No, my dad did. It came in.
That's what my parents did.
When my mom was still in bed and they hadn't written the birth certificate, said, nope, not Royce Lee, we're going to make it Scott Ray, Scott Raywell. So they changed my name right there.
My dad goes by James. Yeah. So when they got me home in the next 24 hours, they realized they didn't want two Jameses in the house. But the funny thing is, James is actually my dad's middle name.
Yeah.
And his first name is something I can't repeat, unfortunately, because he doesn't like people knowing.
Okay.
But he didn't know his real name until he got his first ID because his parents called him by his middle name for so long.
That's funny.
So we're just a weird, messed up family is the story there.
All right.
You get the idea.
Well, we will visit some more after you've had a lot more to drink and that you're a lot more fun when
No, we won't do that. And, where's the tequila?
No, it's that's right. I want the martinis. Well, we are getting ready for the Doc Hilford explanation.
Which is
going to
be great
here.
Fun, and I don't want to miss it.
That's right. So we're going to head in there. That was Patrick Redfern, George Tate, our buddy, your buddy. So the magic word, Scotty out.